Today is Saturday, June 11th, and you're listening to the Desert Skies Podcast, number 9. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Desert Skies Podcast. My name is Jeff Bishop. I want to welcome you to the show. Now, the weekend started off with a bang with my Plantronics Audio 90 headset failing me. This is a headset that has been mentioned quite frequently on the Hit Test, which is a feature of Adam Curry's The Daily Source Code. And I've been using that headset for a long time, and unfortunately, the headset developed a short. And as I was doing my Desert Skies radio show over at interactive.acbradio.org, I noticed that as I would fiddle with the mic during a playback of songs, to like take a drink or whatever, that was making a slight crackling sound, and that was not a good thing, as I've determined that there was actually a short in it. So today I had to go out and pick up a new mic. And so you may notice that my audio is slightly different. It has a much more bassy quality to it. I'll be interested with what you think of the audio quality. Send me an email at jeff.bishop@gmail.com or give the comment line a call at 206-339-7514. Well, this weekend I spent some time taking a look at the Doppler Podcatcher client. This is yet another podcatching client, and I wanted to see how accessible it is. I run a mailing list called Blindcasting, and it's a mailing list dedicated to those who are blind or visually impaired who are wanting to get involved in either listening to or actually developing and producing podcasts. And so I thought, well, shoot, I better be up on this and take a look at it. So I downloaded it, installed it, and played with it for a couple of hours, and noticed that it was written in Microsoft's Visual Studio .NET platform. So I instantly knew that I was slightly in trouble. I was actually able to use a great deal of the Doppler application, but it really was not as polished as the iPodder Lemon product is. And so I've fallen back to my first love of podcatching clients, that being iPodder Lemon. Really, this is not the fault, though, of the Doppler development team. You see, the screen reading technology that we use, which is produced by companies such as GW Micro and Freedom Scientific, they really haven't caught up quite yet with all of the Visual Studio.net development changes that have gone on in reference to form and UI and things like that. So Microsoft has developed these new form classes and things, and it's unfortunately has broken many of the screen reading applications that are used by visually impaired people. So depending on how the Visual Studio.net applications are developed would depend on how much of an issue this is. And so, while many of the features in the Doppler application worked, some of the major pieces did not. So, but again, I'm not really sure that we can really address this with the Doppler team until the rest of the industry as a whole adopts changes to be able to allow Visual Studio.net applications to really work in the environment they need to. Well, this past week, there's been quite a bit of discussion concerning Apple and Apple's movement toward using an Intel-based platform. And I found this rather intriguing because I was really excited about the new Tiger operating system. You see, for those of you that are not aware, Tiger implemented a screen reader into the operating system, and it actually is pretty good. For those of you who listen to the main menu program over on acbradio.org, you will know that one of the beta testers from Apple, was actually involved in testing that screen reader, and they did a two-hour presentation for Main Menu on that screen reader, and it was actually very, very good. My only concern was the speech quality was a bit interesting, but as I understand, you can actually use such products as NeoSpeech and other things, which really would eliminate that problem. So I was very, very, very happy to hear about that screen reader. And I think that this movement of getting Apple to start using Intel-based platforms might prove very, very interesting from an accessibility point of view, meaning that if you truly can make a dual-boot system, you might see a lot more blind and visually impaired people beginning to use the Apple platform. I know I am quite intrigued by it, and I will be taking a look at it. The nice thing about the Apple is that you're not really having to deal with so many different variations in development platforms. That's the beauty of the Apple, and this is why their screen reader tends to really work quite well out of the box. Now, I don't have any first-hand knowledge of that, but from people that I've spoken with, they say it actually works pretty darn well. So we're going to try to get our hands on a Mac and give that a spin. I played with a Macintosh a number of years ago when the Outspoken screen reader was available for the Mac, and I found it a bit difficult to really get used to. It's kind of like it's kind of like your text editor. You know, you fall in love with a text editor, and you know the Unix VI people will swear up and down, and the Unix Emacs people will swear up and down, and they won't use anything else. And that's true really of any programmer's text editor. You get used to something, and you really, really don't want to change. So it's kind of like writing with your left hand if you're right-handed. And so your screen reader is really the same kind of a thing. So I had a bit of a struggle with that, but I think it might be rather interesting to revisit that and see exactly what is going on there. I'll tell you, the reviews that I've heard have been very, very good. So hear to Apple for a job well done in really leading the industry and providing an accessible solution to your operating system. And as I understand it, the installation of the operating system is even accessible. So Microsoft, think about that. And let's see what you can do. Step up and see where you can lead in the accessibility arena as well. And not to say that Microsoft hasn't done a lot. They certainly have. But they certainly don't have an accessible installation application for Windows, which would really, really be nice. I'll tell you, getting someone to install Windows who is blind is virtually impossible. Especially if you have any kind of a hardware problem or a glitch in any way, shape, or form, you're pretty much dead. So, Microsoft, take heed and maybe kind of follow in the Apple lead here. Here, go Apple. Well, last week I had an opportunity to briefly exchange some email with the PodNova people who produce the PodNova website. That's at www.podnova.com. What is PodNova? Well, PodNova is a dynamic OPML service or a one-click subscription service for podcasts. Now, I want to mention here that the iPodder Lemon team are implementing one-click subscription, and on a future version of the Desert Skies podcast, I will review with you the things that you would need to do to implement that on your websites, and we'll tell you how that will actually work with the iPodder Lemon program. But meanwhile, PodNova has sort of jumped the gun here, and they actually have a version of iPodder which has a one-click subscription built into it as well. But as of the iPodder Lemon version 2.1, it was actually 2.1 Beta 2, they actually implemented the ability to remotely synchronize with an OPML file. So now iPod or Lemon also has dynamic OPML support. I really got intrigued with this whole notion of PodNova, and I went ahead and started looking at it. They wanted me to add a link and add my podcast to their directory. So I thought, okay, well, sure. I was kind of busy throughout the week, so I thought, well, today, Saturday, I'll spend the day and take a look at PodNova and see what we can do about getting that added to my blog, as well as getting the Desert Skies podcast added to their directory. And sure enough, I did, and it actually works quite nice. So as the main topic for this podcast, I wanted to talk about how you can get PodNova started for your dynamic OPML subscriptions and what you will need to do to make this happen. The first thing that you're going to need to do is you're going to need to go to the PodNova website. And again, that's at www.podnova.com, and I'm browsing there now. And the first thing that you're going to want to do is sign up for an account. You can use a guest account, but I would really encourage you to go ahead and sign up for an account. I'll assume that you can go ahead and find the sign-up link, fill out the form, then you'll be all set and ready to go. Once you've done that, you'll want to go ahead and sign in to your new account. There'll be a sign-in link, which is about the second link in on the from the top of the page. You'll want to then sign in. I'm doing that now. Then you'll want to go to the top of the page and search for the best way to do this if you're a screen reader user is to search from the top of the page for the word AutoMagically, AutoMagically. I'm going to go ahead and do that now. Okay, once you've searched for the AutoMagically keyword, you'll land on a line here, and you'll be about five lines above where I want you to be. So go ahead and move down the screen, and you'll see a link here that is actually a link to your personal OPML feed that the PodNova service will maintain for you. You will want to highlight this, or basically copy it to the clipboard, and go ahead and do that now. Then you will then want to open up iPodder, and again, you will need the iPodder 2.1 Beta 2, or I'd actually encourage you to get the Release Candidate 1 that is currently in circulation. And if you need to get that, you can go to www.jeffbishop.net, and there will be a link to it near the top of the blog, and you can download that without having to go to ipodder.sourceforge.net. Okay, so I'll assume then that you are running iPodder Release Candidate 1, or at least a version that supports dynamic OPML, that being iPodder Beta 2 or later. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open up iPodder. Actually, I have iPodder running already, so I'm opening it up by right-clicking on the system tray icon and clicking on the Open iPodder menu option from the context menu. I'm now going to pull down the File menu and move down to the Preferences option. Once you come into here, you will be in a multi-tabbed dialog, and kind of depending on where you were last will kind of depend on where you need to go. But basically, you want to be on the Feed Manager tab. And so I'll let you navigate there yourself. You can hit Control-Tab and Control-Shift-Tab to move between the tabs of this multi-tab dialog. And go ahead and get to the Feed Manager tab. And there will be a checkbox here. And the checkbox will say, Synchronize my subscriptions to a remote service. And you want to make sure that this is checked. It will more than likely be unchecked. So check the box and hit Tab. And paste in that URL that you highlighted on the PodNova page into this OPML URL field. Okay? Go ahead and hit tab again, and you'll see here that there is a PodNova, www.podnova.com button, kind of a little advertising there within the actual iPod or Lemon product. But you can go ahead and skip that because you already have been to the PodNova site. Go ahead and hit tab again, and you'll be on an OK button. Either press Enter or the space bar to activate that button. Now, what have you done? You have now told iPodder that your subscriptions will come from the PodNova website, okay? So as you open up iPodder for the first time, or if you press F5, or if you have iPodder scheduled to go out and pull for podcasts either at a specific time or by time intervals, meaning, you know, every 30 minutes or whatever, then it will first go out and look for the PodNova OPML file, pull that information into iPodder, add any subscriptions that are required, and then perform the scan of feeds. Now, the only thing that I have found to be somewhat problematic is that if you already have a bunch of things added to iPodder like I do, I have 171 subscriptions in my iPodder. And no, I don't get a chance to listen to all 171. I think my wife would kill me if I did that. I listen to far too much podcasts as it is. I do have 171 of them in my list. And so my only real complaint is that if you want to convert to the PodNova service, currently right now the only way to do it, if you want to get all of the podcasts that you have in your iPodder list now added to PodNova, you have to do it manually, which means that you need to go to PodNova, actually do a search for each podcast name, make sure that it is actually part of the directory, which they have over 4,000 in their list, so more than likely they will have it, and there will be a add to PodNova subscription link, and you can click on that, and it will automatically add it to your PodNova OPML. Again, unfortunately, you really have to do this manually. I did mention this to the PodNova group, and they are working with Andrew and the rest of the iPodder Lemon team to see what they can do about automatically handling the importing of the iPodder OPML file that you can export from iPodder Lemon itself. So let's hope that they do implement that, because it would certainly save a great deal of time, and I'm really, really hoping that they do do that. Now, not only can you add subscriptions by going to their directory and searching for a podcast and then clicking on the Add to PodNova subscription list, you can also add a podcast by simply clicking on a link that many of your favorite podcasts provide on their websites. For example, if you go to www.jeffbishop.net and you do not have the Desert Skies podcast as a podcast in your subscription list, then there will be a link near the top of the blog where you can simply click and be taken to PodNova and have this podcast automatically added as well. So there is sort of a one-click subscription model now available if you are running the beta version of iPodder 2.1 and using PodNova. So it works quite well. There's information on the PodNova website for both podcasting listeners as well as podcasters. For podcasters, they have two things that will interest you. One is code that you can add to your website to enable one-click subscription, as well as code that you can add to your website to provide PodNova searching capability direct from your website. So take a look at that. Go to www.podnova.com, log into your account, and then there will be a for listeners and for podcasters link near the top of the PodNova website. So it's quite nice. quite nice. They've really done a good job on this, and I really want to commend them for it. I want to thank them, too, for contacting me about their service and kind of getting me, again, interested in taking a look at it. I think I would not have done that have it not been for Andrew and the rest of the iPod or Lemon team adding the remote OPML support to iPod or Lemon. So, good going, guys. I want to really publicly thank Andrew Grumet and the rest of the iPod or Lemon team for the tremendous work and effort that they have put forth in making the iPodder product very accessible to those individuals who are blind or visually impaired. These changes that they have done will be implemented in the final 2.1 release of iPodder Lemon, which I hear is going to be released very, very soon. So I'm very excited about that. The schedule for the Desert Skies podcast, I will be releasing Desert Skies podcast shows on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and you'll want to take a look for them by 10 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll try to make sure that they are up there by that time. This weekend we are a little bit late due to the fact that we were out microphone and headset shopping since my Audio 90 headset died and bit the dust. Keep an eye on the blog between those times, as we'll be posting other technical tidbits and other types of things. So, and we actually may even produce additional podcasts if we have late-breaking news stories that we want to get out to all of you. If you want to get a hold of me, send an email to jeff.bishop@gmail.com. That's Jeff, J-E-F-F, dot Bishop, B-I-S-H-O-P, at gmail.com. If you'd like to leave a comment on the comment line provided by K7.net, we actually had someone leave a comment on the comment line asking about where we got the line from. You can give a call to area code 206-339-7514. Again, that number is 206-339-7514. Again, keep an eye on the blog at www.jeffbishop.net, and we'll see you next week on the Desert Skies podcast. Take care, everybody.